All right, I think we're live. Hey guys, welcome everyone for the Game Week 20 stream from the All About FPL podcast. So today it is going to be just myself and Sankalp. Aditya is taking a nice break. So first of all, let's wish everyone a very happy new year. I think this is the first time we're meeting on the new year. So wishing everyone a very happy new year and happy new year to you too, Sankalp. How are you doing?
Thank you, man. Doing well. I hope you're doing well too. Right, United on a really, really strong run.
Yeah, I'm not going to jinx that at least until, you know, a few more game weeks. And then I'll talk about it at least for three more games. And then I'll come back to that.
But yeah, but this guy on the right, he really helped my last game week. When people were on Haaland and Mitrovic as captain, I went for a Punty Rashford captaincy. And it was a good haul, 16 points.
Same here. We are in the same boat. Yeah, I think I went ahead with Rashford as well. I was quite nervous, early into the game week. The moment I saw Mitrovic scored, I was like, okay, this is another red arrow kind of a week. But thankfully, he picked up a yellow card and things have turned off. All right, then. Let's get and see what we're going to discuss today. So this is going to be our typical agenda for today. What are the key takeaways from game week 19? What are the results looking like? What are the key transfer trends? And, more double game weeks. It's going to be quite often that you see us discussing double game weeks in the next few episodes, probably, because that's the amount of mini and, slightly bigger double game weeks that's going to come upon us. And then we're going to little bit dive into, chip strategy, or I wouldn't say chip strategy, probably where we can use, if it's a good week this week, or we can save it a little later and stuff like that. So that's about pretty much what we are going to do. And also, we're going to touch upon the transfer window so far, how the teams have performed, if there is any, crucial players whom we can consider for FPL and Q&As and our bus teams, right? Let's go ahead and look into the transfer trends. So the most popular transfer trends are Marcus Rashford, of course. He's in a great form so far. I think we myself and Sankalp are in a same boat. Having him as a captain this week kind of saved the game week a little bit, rather than having another red arrow. Harry Kane is another interesting option to, with the double game week coming upon.
I think with Salah and KDB both misfiring, right? That third slot or second slot for people, it was always open. I had Kane prior to the World Cup. The moment he, scored goals, he cost me like 170k drop. And I was like, okay. Let me just jump in. I have jumped in. I think it's a very good, long-term guy, right? He'll keep scoring. And this is a really good season for him. We are missing out on it because of the Haaland factor. But he's the second guy who scored more than 100 points already, right? So, great guy to pick up on. I'm there with the crowd.
Definitely. Yeah, and it is also about the North London Derby as well, right? He has been one guy whom you can rely on such big games, particularly North London Derby, where he has been performing on a consistent basis. So yeah, I can completely understand the mood of the crowd, why Harry Kane has been as preferred as a good option for this double. And the next two, one is a bit obvious, Luke Shaw again. He is also continuing to his form. United on the whole defensively has been doing really well, so far. But KDB, are you a little surprised with KDB still, getting some traction? Is it just because of the doubles? Or is it people, doing a hockey-cocky from Salah to KDB and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's the Salah, Salah guys going to KDB because neither of them are doing much. And KDB being, having a double game week helps. And City are looking a bit in the soup. They're not looking that great. Even the Chelsea match last game week, right? They were pretty flimsy, I think. 1-0 win. They were stronger in the second half. But still, I think Chelsea did really, really, great. So that's the reason I would not have jumped in if I didn't have him. But if you have him, you continue with the trend. But Salah guys, it makes sense at least for this game week. KDB has good numbers against United as well. Generally, right? And Spurs as well. I think they'll dominate Spurs for sure. Kane might score, but City will dominate Spurs. So it's a good, cover-up strategy at least for this game week. But long term, I'm a bit worried as a KDB owner because he's not having that spark. Their entire City squad is not looking as slick as they did. And what worries me is, when you look at a team without Haaland, right? When you look at the FA Cup matches, right? They're looking so good. They're looking so sleek. So you never know what, Pep does. He can generally see that, a Haaland-less team is much more fluid, is creating, and they destroyed Chelsea, completely in the FA Cup game, right?
Right, yeah.
So in case Haaland goes off the table is when a KDB will come alive. But it will be a very bold decision, right? Pep's comments obviously scared me, but it will be a very bold decision.
True. I mean, for me, it is there is also another what you call a possible way of exit. If someone is holding on to KDB so far, and if they are trying to find out a route to exit sometime next week, which we'll touch upon while we are speaking the double game weeks and planned game weeks. Moving on to the price falls section, is there anything that you're observing?
Cancelo and Salah. Salah guys going to KDB. I guess Cancelo makes sense because he's getting dropped. I think the comments by Pep also is not that good. And then we saw Jack Lee, who's a very good, reporter from Athletic for Manchester City. He shared a news that Cancelo is not looking very good in the training as well, and maybe it will take some time for him to settle down. Right. So while it's a double game week, I think guys, people realize that they need to take some money out of the defense to put it into the midfield, and that's that is reflecting in the price for.
I think, yeah, I can't understand. Yes, Cancelo is disappointed, as you rightly mentioned, but taking out ahead of a double game week, kind
That's very
of
risky.
I'm not a guy who agreed to that in most cases. So hopefully Cancelo proves everyone wrong who has sold him and comes out with a couple of points at least, if not against United, at least on the other fixture. But yeah, but Salah, I think the Salah and KDB in I kind of equating that to a swap in swap out move kind of a thing. Ivan Toney is another interesting option. I'm not sure if we have any updates already. Do we? Did you get to see anything?
Not about the booking, but I think this is primarily because of the injury, right? So he had a ankle injury, I guess, and he sat out the last match. Still not sure if we still are, if he's going to be back this game week. So people are moving out, and I guess again, it's the Ivan Toney guys who will want to go to a Kane or a Martial, just for the double game week and try to attack the fixtures.
Right. Well, I think that's pretty much about the price fall and price rise section. So let's try to move on to the next one, which is I believe we kind of skipped one of the key factors, which is game week 19. Apparently, I kind of screwed up with the slides. So let's just quickly touch upon the results that you might be seeing.
Game week 19 observations, right?
Right. Any interesting game that you want to talk about?
Right. Well, obviously, the Spurs match really turned it around for the Spurs assets. Now we see people trusting a bit, right? 4-0, very emphatic. I thought Palace will do well. I thought Palace will score. And the Palace did start well as well. But the second half, Spurs completely bankrolled them. So it will be interesting to see whether they carry on this form, into taking it into the North London Derby and the City match. Let's see. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that, that anger that they had from the previous performances, they took it out in the Palace match and not in our match, right? That's how I'm looking at it. But one match which really surprised me a bit was the Newcastle Arsenal match. I didn't expect it to be a nil-nil kind of game. I thought both the teams will go for it. The Newcastle strategy completely left me surprised because they stayed back very heavily, right? They ensure that it is a nil-nil kind of a game, and well, it helped me asset-wise because I had both Ben White and Trippier playing in my FPL team. So FPL-wise, it really helped me. But obviously, PL-wise, there are some drop points. But there's something that I could not predict. I didn't expect them to, go back again because Newcastle, that they are now a very solid team, and if they want to attack you, they can really attack you. Right. Looking forward to this week, because they have Fulham at home, and how it turns out, we'll see. But of some of the teams, the Chelsea and City, I think, was the best match of the game week. Right? That's what I felt. What was your takeaway?
I think even for me, that was particularly the first 45 minutes was such a crucial game. I think Chelsea kind of added until unless they had that goal conceded. I somehow felt Kepa could have done a lot better. He could have tried saving that or pushing the ball away. Somehow he kind of watched it cross under his nose and Mahrez sneaking in with a really good goal. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the best games. So, let's see what Chelsea does tonight when the game week ends tonight. It seems like it's going on for ages. But apart from that, I think, yeah, Spurs game was one which really helped me with ranks, particularly with Perisic coming out with the clean sheet and assist. So, that's kind of worked for me and for Steamy as well from All About FPL.
So, he had Doherty.
So he also had a tremendous amount of points, almost 14 points or so. But otherwise, it's pretty much, West Ham doing West Ham things. still trying to, draw games and take 1 point or something.
Suresh, your voice is breaking a bit, I think, suddenly.
Oh, is it?
Huh.
All right.
How about
yeah,
now?
Now it's better. Yeah, now it's better.
All right. Yeah. Perfect. All right, so that's pretty much what I also observed. The other interesting game is something Arsenal Newcastle game, as you that's something filled with lots of yellow cards. In recent memory, I don't recollect it had nearly 10 yellow cards or so at either ends. Such an
Very
interesting
much.
Game. Yeah, such an interesting game. But yeah, that was something from an overall the top four fight perspective, that really looked to us. Newcastle put a really solid effort there. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much about game week 19, some of the key takeaways out of that game. So let's dive into the key aspect, which is the double game weeks. So what do you do with the upcoming double game weeks? And what are the confirmed double game weeks? What are the possibilities and stuff? So, what do you think about double game week 20, Sankal? I think on paper everything seems relatively tough. So, what is your take on that?
I was much more excited about the 20th one than the 19th one. So, I saw people going out, try taking hits. I saved my transfer last game week, so I ensured that I used to this game week because these are good. Chelsea doesn't come out as a long-term asset for me. Fulham does not come out as a long-term team for me, right? So I didn't want to jump in. That's the reason I didn't have Mitro. And thankfully, we survived, right? But now, I think United, City, Spurs, they all, at least these three teams are good, strong, teams. You would, if you pick a player now, you can continue for a long time, right? So United, I have always been tripled up. Actually, I was looking to dump Martial, but I could not because of this double game week. I like, okay, let me see. Let him give me 2 plus 2, 4 points. I'm okay with it. Though he does have a very good record against City. I think he's scored 5 goals against City so far in Premier League. So, pretty strong record. Though I think it will be a very, very tough match. Right? Spurs, obviously, like we were discussing, Kane is the guy. Right? Doherty is a good shout. I think he's playing well. Right, and he's a good attacking fullback. So even if he doesn't play well, he's a guy who can give you FPL points. Right, so FPL wise, he's a guy you know to always keep a look at. And Spurs, the major issue with Spurs has been the clean sheet. Right? They have just not taken the. I think they conceded 11 straight games. Right, so for quite some time, they have not been giving you clean sheets. And defenders without clean sheets at the end of the day, you know, they'll not get bonus points. It's always very tricky, right? The ceiling comes back very low, and if they continue this trend, now they have two tough matches, right? And if they look solid, right? Because I expect Conte to sit back in both the games and try and hit Arsenal and City on counter. And if they do it well, if they are successful it in one or say both the games, right? Then I think we'll be looking at Spurs defense again, right? The Perisic, the Doherty, the guys which we sold away 10 game weeks back, they'll come back right on the menu and it'll be interesting again. You know, some changes. Likely doubles 21. 21 is something that we all are looking at. No announcement yet, right? But anything that's interesting to you from the 21 thing?
21 again. See, as you rightly mentioned, it's all about the announcement and how things are going to factor in, you know. To my knowledge, whatever I have listened so far or read across the double game week 21, it could go either way. We could get a good bunch, or it could be even slender. I think the priority would be the Liverpool Chelsea game, which I think the most expected double game week, or the most expected teams to fall into double game week 2021. And for 22, similarly, it could be either Man United versus Leeds, or if I'm not wrong, even the Brentford game of United could also be pre-pawn. So that's another possibility. So all these are, you know, possibilities at this stage, and it may or may not happen. We have to wait and watch how, you know, the fixtures are going to be scheduled and stuff. What I would be interested in looking at is, you know, if at all, if Chelsea is playing Liverpool twice, that's going to be, you know, a kind of something which we saw the end of the last season, where we had something similar with Burnley involved or something. That is one you know, interesting factor, how things are going to play out back to back games. But otherwise, I don't see there is any standout, you know, double. Probably the Brighton one, you know. We could be interested with a couple of Brighton guys, you know, at least from the attacking standpoint. So that might give us some sort of options to explore. But if at all, if Liverpool gets the double, do you have someone in mind, like to try and get in or take a punt on and stuff?
Their new guy, right? Cody Gakpo. I think 8 million, right? He's there in that slot where you can play around, right? For example, I have just downgraded Salah and I went Zaha, right? Who I generally pick out as my trap, but I could not resist. It's a punty, you know, thing that I wanted to do with Palace, and I've gone with him. Now, I don't want to, you know, continue with Zaha for multiple weeks. I know it's a short-term 1 week punt. Next week, I would like to, you know, move around in that category, in that price category, rather than going back to Salah again. So Gakpo is a player who's actually a very good finisher. I really like his finishing. Unlike, you know, Darwin Nunez, where, you know, everyone is still hung up on hoping that he gives you a return. Gakpo is a solid finisher. He just needs to have opportunities. And especially if he hits you on counters, right? He can do that. And the good thing is they are playing Potter. And Potter is a player, coach who generally likes his team to have the ball. Even against, though against City, I think they did the opposite. But most of the Potter teams that we have seen are the teams that they like to have the ball and keep and dominate. And I think against City also in the first half, they did it well. Right? So these kind of games, someone like Gakpo can really, really, you know, take it out. Right? And they start with the home game. Right? So it's very enticing. But like you said, Brighton, we know that. Trossard, there seems to be some issue with Trossard. His contract is getting over this summer, right? He's not signing the contract, and I think the coach also mentioned that he's not very happy with the fitness, right? So Trossard is not an option. So we'll have to look at, you know, who are some of the possible, you know, cheaper options from Brighton. Anyone who you are looking at?
I mean, again, it's once again Trossard. Probably if you want to take a wild punt, McAllister probably,
Not
with
Mitoma.
the not just not yet. The reason it could be a possibility given that I have Martial probably whom I can have as a rotational position who I can try and replace things with. But McAllister probably with still some bit of hype from his World Cup performances and stuff. That's something you can take a punt on. But just these are some of the possibilities. But
Correct.
what I
Correct.
primarily wanted to discuss, from a longer term chart perspective, a slightly longer perspective, how would you look at 25, 28, and 32? There's going to be a couple of blank game weeks. There are going to be a couple of double game weeks as well. But how probably even if now if we don't go up until 32, how do you want to plan or tackle 25 and 28?
25, you have Newcastle and United. Generally, these are the teams that I expect will continue, right? In their matches, they'll win. And ideally, these are the player teams which will blank, right? And I have three of both the teams. So I have six players already. I might go down to four and then, play with 10 player teams because I don't think I'm going to, for example, Rashford and Shaw, they are going to stay in my team. I have double Newcastle defenders who are going to stay in my team. It doesn't make sense because they're such great assets for me, Trippier and Botman. You have Almiron who I can sell, and I have Martial who I will definitely move out. So my strategy is still a bit, on the weaker side, right? I might not go for a free hit like everyone is doing and just save on it and use it somewhere else. Because one thing that I generally like doing in FPL is I don't use my free hits in blank game week. It's sort of a internal rule for myself. I generally use it in a game week where there's some team, there are two or three good teams having double, and I know I can attack it. So rather than using free hit for a defensive strategy, for saving on a blank game hit game week and playing with three, four, not so good teams, I like to attack a game week where I know two, three teams are having good double game weeks and let me go. Right. So that's my strategy, and that is one reason that I might just play with 10 players in this game week and see it and see where I can attack. 28 is interesting because you have some teams which will not have matches, right? And four blanks are expected. It is very difficult to navigate out of it, right? So 28 is something that I'll have to, take it through, right? For example, if Liverpool is out, I don't have Liverpool for sure. But if we don't have Arsenal playing, I currently have two Arsenal players, and I think I'll be reaching there with three, right? I don't want to dump Arsenal players. I'm an Arsenal fan, right?
But yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. 25 is something which is kind of you can navigate without using a free hit or something of that sort. It is manageable if the most likely outcomes of team, as you mentioned, it could be Manchester United and Newcastle. If that's the only thing that's going to be missed out, then I think it's fair enough that we can survive. With a couple of hits or just playing by 9 to 10 players or using your bench if you had a really good bench who can cover at least who's returning 2 or 3 points that should be sufficient. 28 is yeah as you rightly mentioned it's going to be a bit tricky a bit challenging. That's when you probably want to start thinking about using your chips as to how things unfold that will demand the respective chips
And
Which
if you look at the fixtures, right, it falls into my kind of category, right? You have Chelsea Everton, which I can look to attack, take maybe Chelsea defenders, right? You have Man City West Ham, again, pretty attacking, double up, triple up on City players in the attack and give it a go. And you have Spurs going to Southampton, maybe go for a Son as well alongside Kane, or Kulusevski alongside Kane, right? Take out Saka for your Kulu, right? And I think one more match, Brighton and United. I expect it to be a high scoring match. Brighton at home, they're really going for it. I like we discussed earlier, before the Arsenal match, right? We called it out that it is going to be a high scoring match, and it was, right? We had 4 to 6 goals in the game. So these are
Right.
the fixtures which can be really, really attacking. It can give you good points. So it really is, you know, at least it's 28 is much more enticing for me. 25 is manageable.
Yeah, so yeah, probably a free eight is what you're looking at in 28 as a one
Correct.
week
Yeah.
route, and then you know go ahead and think about how things are panning out for the rest of the season. But yeah,
Correct.
having said that, with a possible free eight in 28, would you consider using your triple captain this week? That's going to be my next question. You know, the reasons I ask, you know, as you can see, Manchester City might not even double after this. Or you know they kind of technically plan I mean double in 23, which is a confirmed one, but beyond that there are very limited you know options where they get blank, right?
Yeah,
So would
34
you
I think is a possible double for them. 34, the you know
yeah
double game
again
week.
if the earlier conditions meet, right? They
Correct.
have to progress further in FA Cup. If you know they kind of have an exit over there, that's going to cause some sort of a disruption. And given the form Haaland has been, would you consider him double? I mean, triple captaining him this week? Would that be an option for you?
So there are two names which are being discussed now, right? It's not just Haaland, right? Because Haaland is not the guy in form anymore. And we have Rashford, who was a guy in form. I mean, you may like it, you
It's
may not like
just two
it,
game weeks, man. Let's not forget what he has done the entire season. He's already 20 plus 20 goals for the season.
he
So
scored
let's
like
not discuss
consecutively.
what has happened in there.
He scored consecutively for 6 to 7 game weeks, right? And Palace away falls right into his forte. And to be honest, even the City match falls right into his forte, right? Because United are going to sit back and try to counter. City have not looked bulletproof like earlier seasons at the back, right? So I expect United to score. And even I think I remember the match where you guys went to Etihad, right? You guys still scored three goals, right? It was 6-3 or something, right? So United will score against City, and Rashford is the best possible outlet, and he's a midfielder, so every goal is giving him more points. Right, his possibility of getting the bonus is higher, right? So those things are really attractive. I don't think it's a non-decision. Not Haaland, I don't think is the only guy who you can captain. But what falls into Haaland's, you know, pros is he's not scoring, and he's a guy who doesn't like, you know, this. He doesn't like blanking at all. Insane mentality, right? And same with Pep. Right. They don't like losing, they don't like dropping points, and they just got dumped out of Carling Cup by Southampton of all teams. Right. So that is my worry. I was far more confident of, you know, not confident, but I was giving much more thought to a Rashford captaincy, you know, just keeping it at Rashford and not changing anything, getting into this game week. But given the fact now that City have lost in Carling Cup and Haaland, KDB, they were all rested. Right. I know Pep will heavily go for it. Pep will really go for it this double game. And that's one reason I'm going to captain Haaland. But I never like triple captaining a player who's not on form. Right. And Haaland has not looked on form, to be honest, last 2-3 game weeks. Right. He can create mayhem anytime, but he's not looked that. And he's facing two teams which are going to go ultra defensive, who are going to double up on him. And you know, Lisandro Martinez is going to, you know, be on his face, right? And even the Everton defenders managed it, right? They were really on him, they were very physical, they were very close to him, right? It might help City, but will it help Haaland is the question, right? So
Right.
I'm a bit skeptical about triple captaining. I'm pretty okay with, you know, I know City might not double, right? But I think there'll be fairly strong assets throughout the game, right? It's not like I do have to triple captain Haaland. I can triple captain anyone else, right? So we can do that, and we can look for good matches to do that. I don't want to jump on it. It just feels a bit rushed to me, Haaland triple captaincy. Are you doing it?
I'm in a 50-50 scenario currently because I was thinking about this. The reason I say 50-50 is this season I don't think we are going to get the traditional huge double game weeks and stuff, right? Because majority of the popular teams are out of the cup, you know, be it the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup as well. A couple of teams are already out. So I don't think there is a single double game week where you can probably go in. Maybe if at all, if things go well, if Liverpool gets a double with Chelsea, that opens up another option. But you know, if you're talking about out of form for Haaland, then I don't think you're going to watch for Salah either, right? So these are some of the mini double game weeks is where I have traditionally seen as an opportunity, and use your free agents or your wild card, second wild card, and your bench boost elsewhere later in the stage. So that is the reason, you know, why I'm trying to consider Haaland this game week. Yes, United are going to give a trouble, that's for sure. But Spurs are quite leaky. They have been on and off, you know, and that's going to be a home game for City. So, irrespective of what Spurs put out the last week, the spirited performance last week with four goals and stuff, I'm still not very much convinced about Spurs' defense. You know, City could exploit. They have to exploit. They have to be chase Arsenal. And if they're not going to do that, they're pretty much giving up a very huge lead to Arsenal. You know, already they're quite ahead. You know, if you're going to not put in your complete efforts in some of these key games, then I don't see them chasing for the title this season. So, this is probably a crucial juncture as to how the season is going to turn around for be it City or Arsenal, some of the crucial games that comes up. I think it weighing in all that, this could be an interesting game week to use that. So I'm quite considering it. I'm currently 50-50, but probably you know, by end of tomorrow, before the deadline, I'll have a decision. Let's see.
That's the thing, right? The title race, the fact that City have not done well in the other cups, right? That's where you know that they generally come back strong, right? That's a team
Right.
that they have been, last five titles, they have won four of them, right? They have been a really, really good team, and they come back strong, and that's the reason we back them, right? We know they're going to create for Haaland, and Haaland is the guy who generally converts, right? And I think one point that I had missed is City has a home game to Spurs. Spurs home game definitely should go in their favor, right? So it doesn't
Yeah.
make sense to overthink, at least on the captaincy bit, but triple captain,
Definitely.
do you feel? Triple captain, do you feel? We can wait and watch.
See, I think see it is taking advantage of what you see. Sometimes you have this huge double game week where the captaincy options could be spread out, and then you take a bet on a triple captain. If it goes really well, then you are on a huge upside. But if things go bad, then you are in for a terrible pain. Whereas in this case, anyways, most probable options are going to be Haaland and Rashford. Probably, you know, it's worth taking that punt to you know, get some additional traction on that. If it goes wrong, there's not a huge loss that you're going to face. You know, anyways, most of them have already captained him. If there is a standout option that's going to come up in future, that's a question mark. I don't know if that's going to happen. And it's the options for City, as we discussed, are very minimal. You have to go, you know, out and look for options elsewhere. You know, be it Salah from Liverpool, or if Manchester United is going to continue this form, then you have to wait and see if Rashford is going to continue and stuff like that. So probably given those things, it is worth considering if someone wants to take that risk. I wouldn't put off anyone who considers that.
Makes sense.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about the January transfer window. Is this something which interests you from an FPL perspective? So we just caught, you know, a few names who could make some difference from an FPL perspective as well as for the respective teams.
Yeah, we spoke about Gakpo. I think Gakpo is the most
Right.
interesting asset to start with, as 8 million mid, because I think 8 million price point is something that we'll keep coming back to, right, at some point or the other, right? This season we have not been stuck on Salah or KDB for some reason or other, and we keep coming back to this, you know, third, rather than going heavy upfront, right, with Kane and Haaland, and then using that money in the middle via 8 million. So Gakpo is there, and I like João Félix. I think he's a very, very good player. I also feel he's a player who's more suited to a Potter system than any of the current players were, right? So you had Aubameyang who was played there. You had Havertz who, it makes sense to play him in number nine, you know, in a false nine position or in an upfront number nine position, but somehow he's never been able to make that his own, right? So Felix is a player who's very, very technical.
Do you like the price though? That's going to be my next question.
7.
Felix
5,
at 7.5, you know,
yeah.
I think it's a tad bit more for someone who hasn't tested waters in Premier League. It's going to be you know, quite challenging for him because Premier League is traditionally, you know, so physical and stuff. I don't think if he's going to, how quickly he's going to adapt to that, that's going to be a huge thing. So that 7.5 kind of felt hefty for me. I was kind of expecting at 6.5 or 7. That could have, you know, given us a little bit of cushion. Okay, we can explore some of these options and stuff. And another pointer is that, you know, they've categorized him as a forward, of course. But who do you take out? Because we have plenty of options in terms of forward, right? You have a Mitrovic who's on song, barring the Elokas that we pick. But you have Alan Mitrovic as two slots, which is already filled. Then you have someone like Martial or whoever you're rotating, you know, on the other side. Some even have Kane. So that striker slot is something which is going to be very, very tricky. So,
Correct. Makes it. I mean, for me now, Kane and Alan are going to be constant for the next, you know, I think till the end of season, maybe, as long as both of them are fit. And so the third slot is something that I've kept on using. I've moved around between a 3-5-2 to a 3-4-3, played around with it, and 3-4-3 has worked well for me. So currently, I have Martial there. I plan to have someone like Martial or Eddie throughout, right? But the difference is just 1 million, right? And I feel Felix is a very technical player, right? He will flourish in a Potter system. I'm not going to jump on there for sure. I'm not going there, you know. Before I see some good points, but I think he's someone to keep in your watch list, right? And if you feel that, you know, Chelsea are on a strong run, you see that, you know, the fixtures get better post the double game week, right? He might be someone that I would consider at some point of time for sure.
Right. All right. So what? One last pick that I want to talk about. What about the Weghorst, the great Dino? The great Dino, who has cost us a lot of pain in the past, you know, in the form of similar double game week conundrum and all that. So, Vegas, somewhere down the line, is he an option for you? Given that,
I'll be so much dependent on you for that input, right? Because I have Martial, right? I need to know whether Martial now starts every match. But my feeling is, you know, Vegas comes as a backup to Martial. Marcel is the guy who starts and Vegas is the guy who comes off the bench, is my feeling. Something that we'll wait and watch because he's a very impressive, you know, physical player. Right? He has impressive pressing numbers. He's a guy who will keep running for the team and will provide you more on the air than Marcel does. And if Marcel doesn't keep scoring, right? Currently he's on a blank, right? If he doesn't score, then obviously it gives a chance to Vegas. If he's at a 7 million odd price point, or say, I feel he'll be at the same price point at Martial, right? If he has the same price point as Martial, then I think he's an interesting pick, right?
Yeah, as you rightly mentioned, you know, it's going to be the minutes that is going to be managed between him and Martial. For the tougher games, I think Tanakh would prefer Weghorst because of the physicality and his pressing abilities so that you can attack the team on counter and stuff.
Yeah.
But for a more a relaxed opponent, then it could be Martial's day. Or they can swipe, you know, swap in and out around the 60th minute. So to give a little bit different flavor to the game, you know, from their own respective abilities. I think it's quite a risky area at this point of time. Price could also play a key role, as you rightly mentioned. Yeah, so wait and watch as well for me.
Moreno is a guy that I'm looking at. Right? Dina is finally out from our teams. I hope. I did see that there was around 13K managers who have bought Dina this week, this game week. I don't know why.
Maybe
they got him from the Cancio money, right? Downgrading and picking up someone else. Right? But either way, I think Moreno is out. Moreno is going to start very soon for Vina, right? He's a guy. He's a guy.
As
MD
early as
personally
tomorrow
requested.
is as early as tomorrow is the word from Unai Emery. Let's see if that's happening. But yeah,
Right.
one to
So
watch
if
out
he
definitely.
starts, definitely, he's a very attacking fullback, and I think Digne was already towards the end of his, top form, right? He's no longer in that top form where he keeps on creating well, he keeps on providing a lot of opportunities. So if he's a guy who creates more, if he scores more, and I'm expecting him to be cheaper. He should be around 5 million or less. If he's less than 5 million, I think he'll be a very interesting pick for us, punty picks.
All right, fantastic. All right, let's move on to the next one, which is Game Week 20 preview, which is the fixtures. So I think this is probably the most anticipated weekend, if I have to put it that way. We have two interesting derbies, the Manchester Derby and the North London Derby. So good Saturday, Sunday. I think we are in for a good
Yeah.
amount of football, irrespective of what happens in FPL, of course. But is there anything else outside of these two fixtures that, from an FPL perspective, that you're interested in?
FPL perspective, I mean, looking at the matches, I am a bit stuck into the Palace route now, right? I'm really looking forward to the Chelsea Palace match because I feel that it's a match that will be a bit towards Palace, right? It'll help a bit because Chelsea, unlike United, are going to keep the ball, especially because it's their home. They'll try to attack. They will feel a bit unjust because they played really well against City in the last match, right? So they have a lot to prove and they're going to attack. And Vieira has been very upset with the Palace players. They have been really, really poor over the last few game weeks and they have a point to prove as well. So all these, micro factors are the things that played in my mind as I went for my eventual, perennial trap, Zaha. So I'm looking there, right?
We'll talk about it. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think that's pretty much
But
about the fixture.
Newcastle match again, I think it's something that, having a Newcastle double defense, I'm going to go in pretty happy, hoping that they continue that good form.
For me, it is the other way. After quite a long, I've been quite late to the Mitrovic party. So I'm hoping that he does something. And anyways, who's this guy who comes out with points? Trippier. So
Yeah.
Trippier is going to do his own things. I don't mind having him there, even if he loses the clean sheet, he'll come out with an assist or something. So yeah, that's another game which would be interesting to watch out for. Right, let's talk about our teams. So I know you've done a transfer already, or have you done for this week?
Yeah,
Oh,
I'm
already done
done.
both.
Yeah. I went in with two free transfers. I had Salah and I had Eddie. So I sold Eddie to go to Kane. I could not sell Martial, which was my initial plan because of this double game week. I was like, okay, let me try it out one more week. So I went Kane and I have Zaha as a 1 week punt. So this is something that I read. I think Pras was discussing on Twitter as well that it makes sense for us to, 1 2 weeks play around because next week we again have a double game week. We might have double game week for one or two, teams at the very least. And so that one place, right, you need not, change your entire team, entire structure, right, and risk things too much. But maybe you keep one position in your team where you take those risks, right? So for me now, this is the position where I'm going to take this risk. This week is Zaha. Next week it's going to be someone else. And eventually, I think I'll try to get in Saka, hoping that I don't get priced out. If I do, I'll not break my head. I'll just get Odegaard and hope for the best.
All right. So I wanted you to grill on Martinelli, benching Martinelli.
Very tough decision, right? But who do you play him for, right? The only thing is Almiron, but it's Fulham at home, right? It's just something. Logically to
I thought you will go. I thought you will go with the bias, for Martinelli, and it being a North London derby, it could go either way. Yeah, you know. You can never predict such things, but being an away game, probably that's what I would imagine put you off, you know, with that decision. All right, so let's go to my team. So this is a purely a good bus team. So Marshall is going to come in for Andreas. So that's going to be one sub change. From a transfer perspective, I really don't have an idea what really I have to do this week. You know, there is no scope for me. Either I have to do a Salah to KDB, if that is going to be the worst case scenario, and then bring back Salah if at all if he gets a double game week in 21. So that is probably the only move.
You're playing Marshall, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. Marshall is going to come in for Andreas. That's going to be the final team, which is just, you know, just whatever I grabbed it as it was. But that is the only possible transfer that I'm thinking of. Either Salah to, you know, a Man City attack, either it is KDB or it is someone else, be it Foden or Mahrez, or I have the risk appetite to take it. So that's technically what I'm planning to do. But otherwise, I don't think I don't have much options from a transfer perspective.
No Kane attractiveness, you know, you don't feel like you should go for Kane?
I really don't know. See, I just have one free transfer. If I have to do that Kane move, right, I have to remove Mitrovic, you know, then Salah, then bring in Kane, then go for a cheaper midfielder. That's too much of a pain considering I just got Mitrovic last week. So that's something I'm mulling over. Let's see.
Okay. What, you know, I was thinking whether I do go for Kane this game week or next game week. You know, when do we plan it, right? What really helped me is, you know, I know that at home, Kane generally scores against us, right? So that generally keeps on happening. So it just made sense that I know this is a player that I'm going to get in. And I feel that he's a player who's going to score at least one this game week. So why not get him this game, right? Why take more of those price rises? And that is the reason I did it this game week. I'm still hoping he blanks. I'm pretty okay with it. But I just did it because it made sense.
All right. Okay. Let's see. All right. Let's move on to the questions that has come in so far. So I'm going to go with... let's see what are the questions that we have, and then we can take it accordingly. So there's one question about Tony update. I don't think there is any update so far, right? We touched upon this earlier in the stream. Probably it is a wait and watch until tomorrow from a press conference perspective.
Correct. I think it's a bit too early for us to get that news. We should get it by tomorrow at the very least, but it's a bit early, right? If you have Tony, I would say stick to it, you know, wait for the news. And only if you do not have the news is when you, you know, make those changes.
Right. And there is another interesting suggestion. Would you be doing such a sideways move from Foden to Mahrez?
This game week, I would do it because I think Pep's comments were very strong for Mahrez, right? He said that Mahrez is looking very, very good after a long, long time. And he feels that, you know, Mahrez is again in the form of his life. And these kind of, you know, comments means that he has the trust of, you know, the coach back. And what Pep also did is he didn't start with Mahrez, you know, in the Kalinka match. He started with both Foden and Grealish. So, you know, Foden is no longer, you know, the first guy. And Foden also, what happened was Foden continued deep into the match while Grealish was taken off, right? So, this makes me feel that at least Foden to Mahrez is a sensible move, especially if you do not have the money for KDB. Because if you ask me, Mahrez and KDB, KDB is always going to be the better asset because he's going to play more minutes over a long-term period. But as a short-term move, very makes sense because again you are there in the 8 million, you know, price point, and you can play around that, right?
Yeah,
you can play around that.
All right. So this next question: what's the latest on Kulu? I think Kulu is pictured on training. That's the latest I've seen. I'm hoping that he makes. I think whether he's going to get straight away into the team or going to get minutes off the bench, that's something which we need to be, you know, watched out for. Probably we'll get more information tomorrow from the press conference. I'm going to retain him and play him. That's the plan for now.
Yeah. Makes all the sense, right? Because it's a North London derby. I think that City are going to attack. Sorry, Spurs are going to try to attack us, right? Try to get the best players on the team. Without Kolo, they are going to get really stifled by our press, by our midfield. With Kolo, they are a different team altogether. So I have a feeling that Conte will risk it out, but you never know. Depends on what is the actual, you know, fitness, and that news is yet to come. He's just training for now.
Right. Okay. The next question is something probably for you to answer. You got in Kane this week, so whether this was some sort of consideration for you, given what we saw with Mitrovic?
Yeah, it was there in my mind, and then I forgot it while I did the transfers. Very typical, you know. I just you know, so okay, he cost me 170k transfers. I was going to get him in, and I did it. I think it's a very logical point. You can very well sit back, because Arsenal and Spurs is going to be a testy match for sure. You never know, right? Ideally, he might get a point, you know, get a yellow card and miss the second match. I've taken him because he's a good long-term player. But if you're unable to, you know, fit him in, if you feel it requires too much hit, it's too much hassle, you can, like I did last game, because I did the same thing with Mitro. I just hoped that he gets a yellow card. He did, right? So you can just pray for it and rest, and maybe come back to it later. That's fine.
All right, I think that's pretty much about the questions. I don't see anything else new, which most likely we covered. All right, I think that's us. Do you see anything, Shankal, that I could have missed?
I was just going through the you know, comments. A lot of discussions going on in the chat itself, and you know, good to see the guys. Even if you know we could not catch up on the chat, that you guys are, you know, discussing and helping out each other, because that's what FPL is all about. But I think we have covered most of the points, right? I'll just wish you guys the best for a good double game week. Even if you know,
right.
Even if you do not have a great game week, at least enjoy the football, because I think football will be great.
Definitely. That's what I'm looking forward to as well. You know, it's going to be either Haaland, Rashford or Kane for the captains you are, if you're triple captaining. You know, I think these are the best options that's out there for you. And irrespective of, as Sankal rightly mentioned, irrespective of how this game week goes from an FPL perspective, go ahead and enjoy the football this week. We have some amazing games. But yeah, with that said, I think we're wrapping up this episode, and we'll catch you up, you know, for the next one. And good luck with game week, double game week 20, guys. So make sure to save your teams on time. It's a Friday deadline, so you know, don't forget that it's going to be a Friday night football. So make sure to save your teams, and good luck for 20, and we'll see you on the other side. Thanks, everyone.